So the question is, how does one create, build, and protect and multiply your wealth in a global interconnected economy where change is happening rapidly and constantly, and financial markets are rigged to benefit financial institutions and enrich corporate insiders? I've made it my mission to uncover how you can create, protect, and multiply your wealth in any economy, and have interviewed the top investors and wealth experts for over 3 years. I share what I've learned from them and continue to learn on my journey. I'm MC Lobsher, and this is Cashflow Investing Secrets. Hello, everyone. MC Lobsher, and thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Cashflow Investing Secrets podcast. This is, of course, a show where cash is not king. Cashflow is king. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. That's cashflowninja.com. And if you haven't signed up for our newsletter, you can do so at cashflowninja.com/subscribe. When you sign up for our newsletter, you're going to get weekly emails personally written by myself, in which I will share everything that's going on at Cashflow Ninja. I'm also going to be sharing the most important things that I think business owners and investors should be aware of right now, along with my best insights, ideas, and thinking currently. In today's episode, I want to talk about the one question that investors should be asking themselves right now. This is a concept and an idea that I got from Chris McIntosh. Chris McIntosh, of course, is well known for the incredible platform that he has at Capital Exploits. He's also been doing a lot of things with George Gammon at Rebel Capitalist. Chris McIntosh was a guest on the Cashflow Ninja podcast. If you haven't listened to that episode, I would highly recommend it. He's one of the smartest people I've come across in finance and investing. Just go to cashflowninja.com and type in Chris McIntosh, and you'll find the episode in which I interviewed Chris. Chris is also a fellow South African that resides in New Zealand. I guess we're scatlings of Africa. He's in New Zealand, and I'm over here in the United States. And he also manages capital for high net worth investors at Glen Gorky Capital. Now, I'm going to zoom out for a second and look at the planet and look at the world. And then I'm going to just turn a little bit and face towards the West and look at Western civilization and the incredible amount of wealth that was created in the West. It's quite incredible over the past couple of centuries, the wealth that was created. And if you look at the root causes of why such an incredible amount of wealth was created in the West, you have to look at the environment which existed in the West to allow that wealth creation. So what were some of the things that were there fundamentally and foundationally and present in the West for the West to become so prosperous? And the first thing that I would say is the legal infrastructure and framework and the legal system which exists and provided the rule of law. Very, very important. The West had an established rule of law, which essentially was provided by this legal system. And because you have this legal infrastructure and framework and legal system, which brings about the rule of law, you could essentially then respect private property, and private property had a place in Western society because of the rule of law. You just couldn't walk over to someone else's house and rob them. There were ramifications and there were legal remedies to fix that. And because the rule of law existed and the respect for private property was culturally present, this established, of course, the opportunity for contracts to be established between different private parties, which, of course, is because of the confidence in the respective private property, ownership, and the rule of law. And of course, what did this bring about? Well, the rule of law, the respect for private property and ownership of private property and contracts and honoring contracts and having a legal system which enforces contracts or provides remedies to people that were in a situation where the other party did not fulfill their promise as per contract. Well, this created confidence and trust in the system. And when you are in societies of trust and societies that have a very high confidence in the existing infrastructure and systems, well, it sets up an incredible environment for amazing things to happen. And that is essentially why you've seen the incredible wealth that was created in the West and the incredible prosperity that the West has enjoyed. So those three things are very, very important. Rule of law, respect for private property and private property ownership, and then, of course, contracts and the enforcement of contracts, and, of course, remedies for people that were in a situation where the other side of the contract was not honored as per agreement between the two. So that is a take on the foundational things that were there in place in the West and in Western civilization to create this environment. Now, let's look at where we are today, presently. So this year, there was a massive event that took place, which did not lead any headline on most media platforms. And that event was when the United States, which is in a very powerful situation with regards to the global monetary system because it has the world reserve currency status, the United States and European countries, seized foreign reserves of a sovereign nation. Put another way, they stole the foreign reserves of a sovereign nation, and in this case, Russia. Now, I've shared before in different podcasts, I really don't care what you think about Russia and what you think about the war in the Ukraine between Ukraine and Russia. That is besides the point here. The point is we had the seizure, the theft of foreign reserves of a sovereign nation. It could be any other country. Now, if you were any country in the world that is trying to maintain good relationships with the West, the United States, and European countries, also hedging your bids, maintaining good and great relationships with the East, China, Russia, and so forth, this was a massive moment for those countries because they looked at it and said, oh, wow, the United States and their partners in Europe just stole foreign reserves of Russia because they're on the opposite side of what's going on with regards to the war in the Ukraine between Ukraine and Russia. So they just stole it. Wow, we should be looking at alternative options or at least hedging our bets here when it comes to foreign reserves. This was a huge moment because essentially what that showed was there's no more rule of law. The rule of law, which was a foundational principle in the West and allowed the West, that was the bedrock on which everything else was built in the West, is gone. It's over. They just took it without due process, without a legal process. They just stole it. They didn't take Russia to court and took them through a legal process, which eventually led to Russia losing their foreign reserves. They stole it. Now, that was a massive event, which we will look back years from now saying that was the pivotal moment when the world changed dramatically. Now, building on that, what else happened? Well, there was a lot of sanctions placed by the United States and their partners in Europe, Western countries on Russia, but also they targeted Russian citizens all over the world. You've probably seen that they targeted quote unquote Russian oligarchs. Now, Russian oligarchs or Russian citizens, very, very wealthy Russian citizens, they've been Russian oligarchs and Russian citizens for a very long time, and their capital was welcomed all over the world. It was welcomed into Europe. They took their capital. They were allowed to buy businesses and sport franchises and real estate. It was, they were welcomed with open arms until this year, where, of course, the war started in Ukraine with Russia. And all of a sudden, well, what happened? Their assets were seized again, put any other way, stolen and confiscated by the United States and European countries. Now, think about that for a second. Again, another very important part of Western society and the success on and the bedrock from which wealth was created in the West was the respect of private property and private property ownership. Now, that, of course, is out the window because, as you've just seen, that if you can target a specific group and just steal their private property, then you don't respect private property rights. They weren't taken to court. There wasn't a legal process that was followed, which led to the seizure of their private property. No, it was simply seized and taken. Financial accounts, too, was essentially frozen. Those funds are still frozen at the time of recording for a lot of these Russian citizens. Now, again, it doesn't matter what you think about Russia or Russian citizens or Russian oligarchs. That doesn't matter. You need to live your life by principles, not just buy into narratives. And the principles are that the rule of law was completely broken. And as we've seen, following the breaking of this rule of law, private property ownership is no longer respected in the West, because if they can take the Russians' private property, whether their real estate, their businesses, their financial accounts, then, well, they can take that of anyone for any reason. The third part to that is contracts. So now there's no rule of law. There's no respect for private property ownership. What happens to contracts? Well, now all of a sudden, there's not a lot of confidence in the West as a whole, in the environment of contracts and of people fulfilling on contracts, because there's no respect of private property and private property ownership, and there's no rule of law. So all of a sudden, the system starts to fall apart. All these systems and structures we've taken for granted, the confidence is lost and trust is completely lost. And if you think about it, think about the trust that people have, especially in the West, in their governments, I would say even non-governmental organizations, NGOs, institutions, corporations, you know, all of the things and essentially entities that we've taken for granted our entire lives. There was a poll recently that was conducted that showed that in the history of this poll being taken, the trust that people have in institutions and in these entities is at the lowest ever. So that's not, by the way, that's not shocking at all. You have a conversation with any person anywhere, no one trusts any institutions. And these are, like I said, most of these institutions we have taken for granted our entire lives, and we have had some level of trust in them. So there's no trust. And if you think about it, essentially, if you look at the environment that we're operating in, trust is essentially non-existent. People don't trust one another. Neighbors were turned against one another over the past 2 to 3 years. With regards to a medical event and medical decisions which each individual chose to pursue. And people were, I mean, it's incredible that people were turned against one another. Families, family members were turned against one another, neighbors, people inside of communities, people inside of towns, you know, municipalities, provinces, states, countries. It's all over with regards to how much divided people have become. So no one trusts each other anymore. They don't have trust in the systems and structures that they've taken for granted their entire lives. They don't trust their corporations and governments, and especially non-governmental organizations at all. There's no respect for private property and private property ownership, and the rule of law is completely broken. You pick your country right now, you're gonna, you could find examples of everything that I'm sharing right now. About a dozen a day, pick your country in the West and you'll find examples of this. So the number one question that investors should be asking themselves right now when you are developing an investment hypothesis is, when you are in the world and in a world where you cannot trust anyone and anything, where do you position capital and where do you place capital as far as an investment? I'm going to repeat that again. In a world where no one trusts anyone, there's no trust left, where do you as an investor position capital and place capital as far as investments? And, you know, my philosophy is like, I try to teach people how to fish, right? So this is an exercise that you should be doing and asking yourself this question and write down your ideas. I'm going to share some of my best ideas and insights and current thinking with you on that question in a second. But also, you should be thinking about this and asking yourself this question and really spend some time thinking about this, because this is a very important question that any investor should be asking themselves right now. So here's some of my best thinking, ideas, and insights right now. When you look at, where do I position capital and place capital as an investor in a world where no one trusts one another? Obviously, as we've covered in a previous episode, number one, counterparty risk and assessment of counterparty risk is cardinal. What is one of the easiest way to determine that? People and institutions and entities there's a very high probability that they will behave in the future as they have in the past. And also look at the legislation that's on the books, because we're getting to a point in essentially this controlled demolition of Western civilization, where governments and entities are being protected from the people, not the people are protected from or against entities and their governments. So there'll be laws on the books to protect these entities and the government from their citizens. So counterparty risk is huge. I've shared in a different episode how you can perform a risk assessment with regards to counterparty risk of where to place your capital and also where to position your capital. And then when it comes to where to place your capital as an investor, where do you invest essentially where in a world where no one trusts anyone? There's no trust. So my first thought is, well, it has to be in something that is, on the Maslow hierarchy of needs, it has to be something that people need and is essential. Thinking, of course, that the economy is just going to get worse. And then number two, it has to be physical stuff, something that I can touch and feel and see. And it's not just based on trust. It's based on, I can verify, I can see this, I can touch this, I can feel this, it exists. So that then brings to mind, of course, commodities, which could be agriculture, it could be raw materials. It could be, you know, gold, silver, platinum, rare earth metals, all that kind of stuff. Things that are physical that you can feel. What else falls into commodities? Well, commodities used for energy, oil, natural gas, coal, nuclear energy, although difficult to see, but you could see a nuclear plant and you could see the production of energy in a nuclear plant, right? So things that are commodity-based, things that you could feel, touch, see, and it's needed. So for example, yeah, you're going to need food. That's something that's going to be needed. You're going to need energy. And of course, you're going to need water. Those are things that are needed. You're going to need these things for something that you just want. There's something that you need. The other thing that falls into a need place is real estate. People will need a place to stay, and it's physical. You can touch it. You can see it. It's there. You can verify it's there. You don't have to go and trust someone else that it is there. No, you can see it's there. You can feel it. You can touch it. So those are some of my best thoughts at the moment, my best thinking, insights, and ideas around where do you position capital? And then also, where do you place it then as an investor in a world where no one trusts one another? Where you position capital is, of course, counterparty risk. How comfortable are you with counterparty risk? And we've talked about how you can assess that. Placing capital as an investor, how I'm looking at this right now, in a place, in a world where there's no trust, it has to be physical. It has to be something that is real. It has to be something that you could feel, that you can see, that you can verify yourself. And it has to be things that people are going to need, not want. The way that I see this economy progress to globally is that it's going to get worse and worse. It's terrible, folks. For the average person, it's terrible. And it's only going to get worse. So these physical things that you could touch and feel and see and verify will also have to be things that other people need, not just want, because that essentially will increase the value of them. You know, if you look at it also from a perspective of supply and demand, essentially economics 101, a lot of the physical things that I just mentioned, there's massive, massive supply chain issues and supply issues of those. The demand is there. The demand will continue to be there, but the supply over the past 2 to 3 years has essentially shrunk significantly for many different reasons. We could talk about probably that for an hour, and that will be something that'll get into in a different a show. And we have shared some of our ideas of why the supply has shrunk and it's getting smaller and smaller, where the demand stays the same or it increases. But those are some of my best insights, my ideas and thinking at this present moment. The big takeaway here is the question that you should be thinking about in a world where there's absolutely no trust left: where do you position capital and where do you place capital as an investor? Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com, cashflowninja.com. If you haven't signed up for our newsletter, you could do so at cashflowninja.com/subscribe. Until next time, live infinitely.
If you are interested in learning more about cash flow investing, I have compiled the 21 best cash flow investing strategies I have come across studying millionaires and billionaires for 2 decades and interviewing over 500 successful investors and wealth experts. You can grab the 21 cash flow investing strategy secrets at 21cashflowinvestingsecrets.com. That's 21, the number, cashflowinvestingsecrets.com.